This second letter of Paul to Thessalonians was one of the first few inspired scripture that ever to be written. The couple of others, it's probably, they say this is the one of the first one. And the first one was the Thessalonian, and soon after, subsequently, the second letter was now sent to Thessalonian, as we all know. Paul, when he heard about the news that the Thessalonian had received some false teaching from, which is not apostolic, and so the church at Thessalonian were disturbed. And they do not know whether it is really from, this is all concerning about the second coming of Christ. Isn't it interesting to know that the first scripture that was ever to be written in the New Testament is concerning about the second coming of Christ? It's so interesting to see. And it's very important even today in our lives. Though we see many things about the scripture, we are all waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. No? And so we see that in the second letter of Paul to Thessalonians was written sometime subsequently. And after that, Paul got news through the Thessalonian. When they received the first letter, they were disturbed about certain aspect of some teaching that they received from false teaching. And they received this from some source, claiming to be apostolic, which disturbed their spirit in relation to the second coming of Christ. And this is the occasion for the Paul to write the second letter. It is interesting to see how God has arranged these differences and difficulties to arise in these different churches in the early days, so that Paul could write in these circumstances that are found in the local churches, and therefore now Paul could write a clear teaching, unknown to himself perhaps, that he was about to write an inspired scripture that was going to bless millions of people in the 20th century. And so, even in the same way, when we think of Paul writing to the Corinthians, they were also, they were disturbed. And in the similar way he writes it to them about various matters concerning to the gift of the Spirit, because there was abuse of the gift. Same way concerning about marriage, concerning about Lot's table. And because of this, difficulties that has arisen, cropped up in these areas, like legalism in Galatia. In Galatia, all these difficulties that the devil has brought up were used up by the Lord for a good purpose. In a sense, the apostle could lay down good instructions. Otherwise, they would not have laid down. If everything in every church is going smoothly, then we would not have the scripture. And so, what the devil had, the difficulties and the differences that brought up in this church, God had used them in a good sense so that the apostle could write down the clear teaching for us, where we can follow it. It's a great blessing to us. And when we think of this in the right sense, we can even give thanks to God because of these scriptures. So we will see. So that's how we have the second epistle of Thessalonians, which starts in this manner. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And Silas is the short name for the Silvanus. Then Silvanus could be seen, is mentioned in four different places in Scripture. One is Acts, 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and Peter, 1 Peter. And it's so when you look about when you read about this Silvanus, he is one of the leader in the church. Okay? And the most important thing is, who writes this letter? It's a Paul. It's Paul's own word. Now, when the end of this episode, we see, I, Paul, who write this letter. But it's interesting to see that he also includes Silas and Timothy. And Timothy is a young person. And what it tells us, it teaches us something very important to the New Covenant Church. It's not one man church. All right? So in other words, Paul, he humbles himself and includes the other co-workers along with his letter. He gives the same authority, yeah? And he, even Timothy, such a young fellow like you, was able to include him into his ministry. And that's the attitude that we should have. In other sense, he did not exalt himself as he is the chief apostle, or he is an apostle and everybody has to be a subordinate or things like that. Equal with all. And more than that, you could see in some other churches where they exalted themselves as high priest and things like that. But you're going to see something else. What Paul understood is he knows that he is just a member in the body of Christ. Yeah, that's what we see when we read the first few letters, few words from the epistle. And also, we should know that each and every one is kings and priests, as we read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. I'll read it for you. And let me read it from 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in our own blood. And he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him to be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we know that when we are in Christ, when we know we accepted Christ, when we know that we have been washed and when we added to the body of Christ, everybody is a king and priest. That means there is no person elevated as an elevated person like the apostle or elders and things like that. Elders, even they have an extra responsibility, but they are equal. Okay? And same way, more than that, there's another verse in the Bible in the first Peter chapter 2 and 9. 1 Peter 2 and 9, where we read that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. So here we see we are a chosen generation. Everybody is has a royal priesthood. So we are kings and priests. And so when we read the second, let us move on. So when we read in the first verse, the later part, to the church of the Thessalonians, to the God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. We read here that Paul mentions very clearly, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The two separate person. It's not the same. So in many churches they think that Jesus is God, Father and the Holy Spirit. No. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are three persons in one. They have the Godhead. And in the same way, you also read in first chapter, verse 2, in grace to you and peace from God our Father. See, this is again, it's emphasized. And it's emphasized very clearly throughout the New Testament that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. So they are three different persons. And we see this heresy being told in many even churches that these are all one. It's not that. Okay. And so again, well, let us move on to the third verse. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. See, Paul is always happy about the believers, okay, or the saints. Yeah, he always thanked people, thank the saints. we also have to have the same thankfulness for our own people. So the Thessalonians, though they had weaknesses, yet they he knows that the faith they had, we're going to see it eventually in the later verses, that he always appreciate and thank God for what they are. It's in the same way we should also appreciate. Because when the people appreciate in our weaknesses, they appreciate us. In the same way, we should also appreciate, even in their weakness, we should appreciate what is good in them. And that's how we can encourage one another in Christ. And therefore, it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and love of everyone to you all abound towards each other. So when he saw that their faith, the Thessalonians' faith, were growing exceedingly, and love of every one of you bound toward each other. So we know that Paul, whenever he sees something positive in them, he always prays. He always praises them. So when we read this passage, there are two things that comes to us in focus. That is faith and love. And most of Paul's epistle we see, he mentions this faith, love, and another word is hope. So you would see either the faith, love, and hope, either two of these are, and sometimes all three are used in his epistles. The faith, love, and hope, sometimes it is refers to us Pauline triad. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13:13, we see that it's all three are mentioned, and we know that. And now these three remains faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of this is love. Well, I would like to ask you one question. Why love is greatest? Why love is greatest? That's right. God is love. And more clearly, because can God exercise God, the love of God, God is love. It's an attribute of God. Can God exercise faith? No. Can God hope for anything? No. And therefore, we see that God, the love of God, no, that's the most, that's the greatest one. And so we see that these three, faith and love, is very important even in our lives. And so Paul emphasizes this in most of his epistles. Let me read this. Okay. And in verse 4, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches. Again, here, even in the verse 4, we read that he appreciate their faith and their hope for your patience and faith. So this is something that we learn from these two words, faith and patience, or patience and faith. Only God unites these two verses, these two words, faith and patience. And let me tell you, I'm going to tell you a short story about a person. This young man is a story of a young man growing up in Germany in 18th century. And he used to steal money from his dad. And when he was teen, twice, he stayed in a hotel and he never paid. He slipped out of the hotel without paying the rent. And then, very strangely, he went into a Bible college. Even after getting into the Bible college, he was into gambling, he was into drinking and all that. So even he ended up mocking at Christians. And so one of his friends called him, "Why don't you come for the Bible study? We have a Bible group here, why don't you come?" So he went there just to mock at that people. But something happened. When he saw the love and the faith that this little group that they had towards the Lord, it touched him. And his life was totally changed. And he is none but, you know what, who is this? Yeah, you know, who's that? That's right, George Mueller. Yeah, George Mueller. How many of you know George Mueller? Yeah, many of you know George Mueller. He is known for his faith. We know very well, okay? He was able to feed 300 orphans just being on his knee, depending on God, not begging even any single, even to the next person for, you know, feeding those 300 people, 300 children, okay? And so we know there's a couple of good stories about how we could now feed those people, depend on God, no, to take care of these orphans. And that is true. It can happen in our life. God, no, who died 2,000 years back, he is not dead and gone. He is alive even today. And he could even take care of each and every children here. And therefore, you have to exercise faith. The faith is the one that you can exercise. So many people know misunderstood between faith and belief. They are two different things. Okay? So belief is like a theoretical way. Faith is a practical way where you can see that God is at work. All right? I know myself. I can give my own testimony how I have to know, I have to see that God is really living. Yeah? After my mother went to be with the Lord, and I think a year later, I was winding up my PhD thesis, and I didn't have money. So I was on my knees, and I don't know how to pay, because I have to give my manuscript for printing, and I have to get that ready. Otherwise, you know, it will be delayed. So I prayed, and I stay in the church, because I go to the college, and after everything is over, so I come back to the church, help the people around, and I stay there. And so as I was praying, and I did not know what to do. I need the money. And I came down, and I saw one brother. Sam, I wanted to talk to you. And I said, yes. Then he put his hand around my shoulder, and he gave a small envelope to me. And he said, see, I had the burden to help you. And he gave, obviously there was some money. And so I said, thank you. And he prayed with me and said, Sam, we know we have been blessed by your work and your ministry, so we want to say thank you. I said, fine. And when I opened, I had the exact money that I needed to pay for that printing. I couldn't talk. I don't know what to say. It's God's doing. See how God answers prayer. It's a little faith that we need. Many times, no, we don't put our faith into test. In sense, we are very scared when we want to depend on God. It's one thing. Now, when we have money, when we know how to spend, that's a different thing. Okay. When you want to move forward to do his work, and you know everything is blurred, you don't know what to do, that is the time God is there. That's the time God helps you to move. Think about Israelites. The water in front of them, all around enemies. But God is asking, you have to cross the Red Sea. There's one person who had that faith, Moses. He prayed, Lord, today, and Lord says, stretch your hand. Today you'll see the salvation. Did they see the salvation? Yes. That becomes a great work of the Lord. And that's what Lord wants to do. He wants each and every one of us to be a useful vessel in his hand. How we can do? It's only through you. You have to step out. You have to raise your hands. You have to get up from your place and see walking what Lord says. And that's how. That's what happened even in the life of Thessalonians. That's what happened in Paul. And Paul and Silas did not get fear about depending on God. When they were put in jail, they were not blaming on the circumstances. They were not blaming on the situation or any other people, because sometimes we see the mob comes after them, throw them out. But they are not afraid. Even in the jail, they were able to praise God. And what happened? Miracle. And you could see the jailer being saved. And this is what could happen even in your life and my life if we put our faith in God. So faith is the first step for any believer. And this comes only when you love God. If you don't love God, I'm telling you, the faith is nowhere near you. You love God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might. And you'd see that you can have your faith very strong in God. Okay? So, this is life of Muller. Do you know anyone who is this? Yeah? No? Okay. George Werber. Have you heard of George Werber? Who was? Yes. There's one person, George Werber. He is the founder of Operation Mobilization. They are the responsible people who take care of the literature all over the world. Yeah, they have two ships, I think. And when they started, actually, when he was a young boy, he is so naughty. And there used to be in front of their house, I forgot now, it's a long time since I read this testimony, in college, I think, there used to be an old lady. And these young fellows, so notorious, now they will throw a stone or they will mock at that old lady. But that lady was a Christian lady. And she was praying for these young brothers very fervently that, Lord, touch these children and save them. And that's how George Muller was saved. When he was 16, when he heard, he was saved through Billy Graham's ministry. And later on, we could see his life could change 200 of his college mates. 200 of them saved through his life. And then what happened? They started taking literature and went all around the city distributing the gospels. And they were poor people. They did not have big vans. They used to buy only the van that is going to be dumped in the dump yard. They will buy that van, repair it, and use it. And so one day, they said they were going to buy a ship. Everybody was laughing. All they had is only the broken vans. Maybe, I don't know how many they had. They had several vans. I saw them. They have come to my place in Madras. The big ship came. The ship called Logos means word. And like 200, 300 cars came. It's all old cars. So that's how God does it. Yeah, God doesn't give you a luxurious life, but what is needed for you, what is needed for His service, He will give that. He will never run short of it. Okay. And so these are the living lives of today. We can see how God is working. How about this? You know this. Who is this? Noah. Oh, you're not able to see? Noah. Noah is known as a man of faith. Okay? God asked him to build an ark. All right? There is no sea around. But another good thing is you can learn from Noah is he wanted to save the people. Lord had intention. Okay, he said, you built the ark. He did not say, I'm going to cause 40 days and 40 night rain and I'm going to destroy the world. He did not say that. He just built the ark. And have faith in me, he built the ark. He did not tell who has to come into the ark. And he could have said, Lord, I have only small family. It's only family of eight. Maybe a few relatives. But he asked him to build a big ark. But he had a faith. That's how it has to be. And then what happened? When the Lord asked him to preach, he preached. Patiently he preached. For how many years? Do you know? 120. Yeah, some say 120, but if you read the scripture in Genesis 5:32, it says at And when he was 500, he had Shem, Ham, and Yabeth. And then in 6, it says about when he was 600, God brought the flood over the earth. So we say about few decades or maybe 100 years. He was so patient for so long in preaching the gospel. And today, it's the same patience that we should have. Sometimes we lose heart. Yeah, I'm praying for my son. He's not listening. He's not being saved. But be patient. A patient and faith goes together. When you pray for something in the will of God, if you don't get answer in 1 day, 2 weeks, don't give up. Yeah, if you are within the will of God, God will answer your prayers. You have to be patient. Sometimes it's a long, long time. But it will happen in his right time, in a beautiful way, beyond your thinking, beyond your measure. He's a God who knows the end in the beginning. You can't determine the time. He knows the time very well. And so we see these men of faith. They are the people who encourage us. When you read the word of God, it helps you to lean on Him completely. So the patient and faith where the Lord put together, it helps you to trust in God. And therefore, you should know that the patient and faith where the Thessalonians did not have when everything was comfortable around them, when the life was going smooth. No. It was during the tribulation, during the persecution. Yeah? And they were even scared to come out of the house because there was always mob around them trying to beat them up. Okay? But their faith was so strong. In fact, we see their faith was growing exceedingly. And the love was abound. And that's how it should be. Even under difficult circumstances in our life, even we feel that our prayers are not answered, but still, if your faith is strong, your faith should not, what I'm telling is, if your faith should not diminish, your love should not grow cold towards God. It always should be strong so that you could see the wondrous work in your life. And secondly, which is a manifest evidence of righteousness, righteous judgment of God, and that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom. So we read, we will all turn to Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. That it through many hardships and tribulation that we may enter into the kingdom of God. So it says very clearly, it is only through the hardships and tribulation that we may enter. It's not by merely having a happy means. It's not the pleasurous life and things like that. Only through tribulation. It's our selected lot. We can't forbid that. Okay, each and every believer has some sort of tribulation, some sort of trial every day in our lives. And through this only we could see the kingdom of God. And again in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 we read, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, we will suffer persecution. I'm going to show you a picture. What are the kind of persecution that one could face? Please, somebody raise hands. If I'm going beyond the time, yeah, I can stop. All right. Okay. So it's only through persecution. Yeah. It could be even mocking in your classrooms. Yeah. You want to be faithful because you have experienced the love of Christ. You have given your life to Christ. And when you share the gospel in your class, what will happen? They will ridicule you. They will mock you. It's a kind of trial to you. But yet, if you stand for it, what will happen? Lord will strengthen you and your faith will grow stronger and stronger. And same way, the same thing happened even to the George Werber. When he said to his people, because he was like a gang leader, And when he said, I've given my life to Christ, I want to follow him, everybody ridiculed him. But after seeing his life, you could see one by one, people got saved. And I was so amazed to see that 200 of his classmates, 200 of his schoolmates were able to be saved. And this could happen even today. God, our God is not a God of age past. He is even alive today. So when I went through the internet search, I could find this slide. So the degree of religious persecution, they have classified into three different groups. Like one is normal, moderate, and severe. So the normal is social, that we ourselves have experienced at one time or the other, like ridicule, evil, disapproval, harassment, mockery, jeer, slander. So all these things we have experienced at one time or the other. How we have reacted to that? Sometimes are we? No, I'm sure most of the time we either talk back or try to avoid or things like that. But we should not do that. We should stop doing such reaction. It's like you have to come out with your what is in you. Who is there? It's Christ. It's the love of Christ that we should share. Pray for them. Okay? When the time comes, Lord will open their heart. I used to share a small story about a girl who has suffered very much during the time of communism. So in one place where the communist leaders have killed almost most of the Christians, but only one little girl was saved, all right? And now she is without home, no relatives, and she was on the street, no home. And so when someone saw the little girl, okay, they had pity on her. And they took her to their home, and she was there, and she used to serve in that house, cleaning and helping them. But she knew why their parents were killed. She knew why those policemen have to shoot them out. And so, because they believed in Christ. And after seeing the life of their parents and how they could stood, very well they could have denied Christ, but they stood for that, for their testimony. But she believed the same God, and she used to pray every day. But one day, she had a very small voice saying that, today, you have to see that you buy a small piece of candy and go to that direction. Go to home, knock at the door. She went. Initially, she had the hesitation. It's a big story. I'm cutting short. And so she went to the door, knocked at the door. And when she knocked at the door, a person opened. And she said, this candy is for you. She never knew who was that person, but that person who received the candy knew who this little girl was. That's the policeman who killed their parents. And he, after seeing this, he couldn't do what to do. And how can you do this, the policeman asked. But she said, it's a God who talked to me, said, you have to give this candy to you. Do you know what happened? Immediately he started crying. And that time he broke out. He said, I'm the one who killed your parents because they were Christians. And today you're showing. That time God began to deal with him and he changed his heart. And this is not a story. This is a real, real history that happened. And God can do anything, all right? Even that's what I'm telling. You have to stand. It may be any kind of persecution in your life. Most of us, we don't go to that extreme like severe. But every day we undergo the normal or moderate persecution. So how we react? There's another small statistic that comes here. So each month about 333 Christians are killed for their faith. And about 200 churches are being burnt or vandalized. And there are several forms of violence going on around the world. But what do you read in the Word of God? Matthew 5, 10 to 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecute the prophet who were before you. I'm telling you, our Lord Jesus Christ was also undergone the same thing. He was ridiculed, he was mocked, but yet he endured everything. So today, every believer has some form of persecution. When you hear about persecution, hey, I'm undergoing, what is the first thing that comes in your mind? What's the first thing? Fear, isn't it? So what is fear? Forget everything and run. Either you do that or face everything and race. We have to take the second thing. Face everything. We have to endure. That's the word that is used in the Word of God. So it is vital that we spend time with God if you want to face the trials. If you want to face the, it is God who strengthens us. It's nothing. It's not a moral support from your relatives, friends, or a letter from somewhere. But it's the God that will strengthen us. That's why when you undergo such trials and tribulations or persecution, you have to see that you spend more time with God to grow in Him, and so that we could prepare and stand strong in the face of persecution. So, in other words, it's God who works in us. As we read, as we saw earlier, see the difficulties and the differences that arises in these churches. What will happen? The devil brought in. God used that. And today we have a very beautiful, wonderful scripture to help us, to encourage us. Yeah. And so God uses such situation in our lives, because He says, your thoughts, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways are not my ways. Because He knows our end in the beginning, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are your thoughts. What a wonderful words. This is a promise for each one of us. We can claim that. Lord, you said, your ways are higher than my ways. Wow, I want that, Lord. I know I'm undergoing such difficult times. I know it's very difficult for me. But Lord, I know your thoughts are better than mine. And your ways are better than mine. And therefore, I'll submit to you. And this is a wonderful exercise that we can do through faith. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, we read, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What a wonderful verse is this. It's an encouraging verse. So when we are down, you just read this verse. And you claim this is a promise. You can claim it. Lord, this word is true. This word is living. Let it happen to me. Let me experience this. And what happened? You'll become a living water to the people who are dying. And through that, you can see that many people could be saved. So, what do we read in John chapter 12, verse 24 and 25? It says, most assuredly I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. That's true in our life, yeah, isn't it? So are we like a grain just standing alone? Are we like a grain of wheat that prepared to die? If you're prepared to die, if you've been ridiculed, if you want to be persecuted, that means it's not you're losing your strength, it's not losing your power, it's not losing your dignity. It's only for the glory of God. Through that, what will happen? Lord is glorified in your life. There's a key word that's coming up. I don't know whether we will have time. It's in the verse 10. That God glorifies. Where? Let us see that. In saints. It's in your life and my life God is glorified. How is glorified? By doing these wonders. Through the persecution, when you see how God works, what will happen? You glorify God and God is glorified in your life. So, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 6 and verse 6 to 9, since it is righteous thing to with God to repay with the tribulation those who trouble you and to give you those who trouble rest with us, when Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. Well, I'll stop here. So here, it's a God, is a righteous God. And he says, he will repay those who trouble you. Only in the Old Testament, it's eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But in New Testament, you leave that to the God. God will take care of in his time. At the end, and the judgment day, Lord will take that eye. You don't need to do anything. You have to do what Lord Jesus has done. He said, Lord, they don't know what they are doing. Forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. That's the same thing that we have to do. We pray for them. There are many, many Christians who pray, Lord, take away the persecution, make the life easy. No. Even Paul, he says, I praise for you to God that you endure all this in the name of God in the tribulation. You should pray that they should endure. Give strength, give grace, Lord, for them to endure. Because that is what is needed. So through that what? When we experience this, when all these trials and tribulation that I undergo, what will happen? Lord is glorified. His name is glorified. And therefore, what will happen? If you pray otherwise, you are hindrance to their blessings. Yeah? And also, no, it's not the right way. So, what's the time, sir? Okay. So, yeah. All right. This is what I'm doing is I'm trying to give you. It's a bowl of peanuts to you. God's word is true. God's word is living. Yeah. It's like an appetizer for you now. You dig deeper again. You will get another new revelation. Yeah. Through his word being revealed to you. Beautiful. And word of God is living. Word of God is a spring of living water. Yeah. It never goes dry. Yeah, it's more than riches of gold and silver, all right? Don't when you read the Bible, don't read just like that. Yes, and also spend time on God. You would see that Lord reveals beautiful truth. And, you know, it's always refreshing. Yeah, and if you do just browsing like your internet, you will not get it. Yeah. What do you see on the surface? Dead, mud, trash. But when you dig deeper, where are the gold and silver and diamond? They are deeper. The deeper you go, you get the treasures. Yeah. And so that, with our encouragement, now I would like to encourage you that Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ is a true God, is a living God. He is faithful. He is just God. He is the one who knows us. He is the one, even before he created us, he says, I know you. What a wonderful God he is. He's the one, so wonderful God that our heirs are all numbered. Even you and I don't know how many heirs are there. We never even had pain to count our heirs. Yeah? Okay? Sometimes there are one white heir, maybe you may count, but he knows everything. Yeah. And so you don't need to worry. All you have to do is give your life to God. That's my experience. So I have experienced, there are many, 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 many testimonies I can share with you, what Lord had done. But he is so wonderful. He is so wonderful. One time I remember I did not have any money. But I had since my father worked in a railway, Indian Railways, I had only a free pass. Yeah, all I have to do is show that pass and get into the train. All right? But I had to go to the station. I had a bicycle. That bicycle, it's flat. And so I need to go to the next street to get it right and go to the right street. I did not have money. But I prayed, God, you help me. And I just pushed a cycle. So I went to the shop. It's the next street. And I asked the person to inflate the tires. I don't know whether it was punctured or not. So I said, inflate the tires. And so he inflated. He started inflating and all that. So he's done his work. I didn't have money. And I was about to tell him, I don't have money. I'd like to pay later. But so, even before I could open my mouth, there was one person standing to me. There's another brother from the church. He said, "Hey Sam, I paid for that." What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. Even for little things, you can believe on God. He is a God. Oh God, I tell you, He is living. He is a living Savior. And this is the God we have. Why don't you test Him? Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. He's always good. Let's bow our head. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your word, your life, your death, your resurrection, and your hope that is given to us, O Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the wonderful testimony that you have raised in Westernwick Bible Chapel here. Father, we pray that you'll prepare us like the saints who lived 2,000 years back in Thessalonica, how you have used them, oh Father, through their lives. Lord, we could see the scriptures are written to inspire us. Oh Father, let this word be an inspiration in our life so that, Lord, we may be strengthened in you and prepare us for thy coming. Lord, help us to be faithful in our lives wherever we are, at our school or at our work or even while we play, that we may be a testimony to your name, O Father. Let our lives be tested, O Father, and we pray that you will break us and mold us. We pray that you will help us in every way to depend on you, and let thy grace be abound on us and be with us and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.